three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this on Tuesday, 28th of December. We were going to do it later tonight, but the game we were hoping to watch and then record after has been cancelled, unfortunately. My name is Joseph Gore. I'm joined by Andrew Kenyon.
Andrew Kenyon. Here I am, the fan man on the stand without many games.
The sports
to watch.
Media minnow. Yeah, the sports media minnow and the fan man in the stand. But for how long that remains to be seen.
I got COVID.
Welcome to NBL Pocket Podcast. A couple of business things out of the way first. Firstly, if you like the show, do become a patron. We've had a number of people sign up in the last week. Much appreciated. When we get to 25, I think we're at 21 or 2. When we get to 25, we'll do like a Chicago Bulls intro joking thing. Yep. The patrons and, like that.
And the patrons got a little bonus last week, didn't they?
They got an exclusive episode because we swore too much. And I was like, nope.
We swore too much. We abused people. You know, the whole bag, box of dice. It's like, oh, we better keep this just for the people who are.
So we did an exclusive just for the people who signed a Patreon non-disclosure agreement. So yeah, we did that. So do become a patron. Also, A Type of Life is Body's book. I'm on chapter 6, about halfway through chapter 6, which is just under halfway, I suppose. I'm enjoying it. You've got a copy, Andrew. You enjoying it?
Well, I don't have my copy yet. I'm still waiting on it from Booktopia. They had some supply chain issues, I think. But I saw it in a Dimmicks. I didn't buy it because obviously I'd already bought it. Sorry, buddy. I couldn't buy two. But I saw how thick it is. It's a giant. It's a tome. Very, very thick book. Mm. So look, if you judge your value for money purchase based on, you know, paid words per cent or, you know, break it down, how much value for money am I getting in terms of length? This is the book for you.
Thick and length are the key words there from Andrew. And let's just say the book is thick, much like the man himself. So get out, buy a copy. I'll put a link in the description. I'm enjoying it. And also with Body's work, if you've read his novel, Stillness, forget the full title, The Stillness in a Single Breath, very sexualized, and this book is no different. It may shock you. But anyway, we're digressing. Today we're talking about NBL round 4, what was only 2 games. We're going to go through those the 2 games and the 4 teams involved. We're going to highlight them. There's a couple of top-end teams in Sydney and Melbourne, a couple of bottom-end teams in Tasmania and the Breakers. We're talking about social media. We're talking about COVID. And then we're going to take it to the tweets, good tweets, bad tweets. Do you want to start with social media? Where do you want to start, Andrew?
Well, yeah, let's start with social media. Why not? Right. Taking it to the tweets. Hit the music, Joe. Tweets.
I'm going to start. Do you mind if I start with a good tweet?
That tee off.
All right, my first good tweet is by a guy by the name of Andrew B. Price from Spatial Jam. This is a must follow, and certainly donate to them if you use their website on the regular. All analytical NBL stuff, one of the few places that does it and does it really, really well. Great site to navigate. His tweet from 19 hours ago as of recording time, just a heads up, Andrew B. Price writes, the latest NBL data won't be updated on Spatial Jam until the 29th of December. I figured no one needs basketball stats to enjoy their holiday season. Go outside, you nerds. 36 likes. It was the closing line that I liked. And I liked Andrew's approach. And that was my good tweet. I think punk rock element to the NBL, talking down to the fans. They seem to really like it. That was my good tweet of the week. Andrew B. Price. Spatial Jam. Subscribe.
It's an excellent site. It actually gives you, it's much easier to find the stats on his site than it is on the NBL site. You can get a breakdown
and it has
pretty quickly.
All-time stats. So if you want to see what Andrew Gaze scored and shot at and so on and so forth, it's all there.
Yep. I love all these people just doing stuff. Like, I don't think, does he have any commissions with any any of the clubs.
Yeah. I think he does do something with New Zealand. I don't know. I've never spoken to Andrew. I might have to reach out. I think he does do stats-based stuff with a league or perhaps even the league.
Yeah.
And then also Spatial Jam has a donation page, which I would have thought would have a couple of people doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I'm not one of them. Sorry, Andrew. What's your good tweet?
All right. Well, look, I feel like I might be overplaying this, but I love them so much. New Zealand Breakers. They can't win on the court. Yeah. They're winning on the socials again. Come on, everybody else, step your game up. Come on, it's getting boring just constantly calling out New Zealand Breakers. But they put a tweet out and they said it was just simply saying, this one's for you at NBL Pocket Pod. In reference to, now I'm a bit heartbroken they didn't call me out at Andrew Canyon,
because it was you,
that one
you and, were the you one know, who brought but, I didn't notice it,
but that's fine, Joe, you know, you can take my credit.
Well, I think that the NBL part is the show.
Yeah, that's all right,
easy to remember.
But the reason they're saying that is because it was a score check update. They put the score panel up and it was the Breakers 56, Tasmania, the map of Tassie, 69.
They've done it before. They've done it again.
They didn't do it. They just put the card up. And they, oh, sorry, I should say that the original tweet was 56.69, yep. And their comment on that was nice. they're having fun over there. I love it.
They're having fun.
If you're not going to win a game, just have fun losing them. You know, like, and they're doing that.
We're going to talk about them as far as social media goes a little bit more. But before we do that, bad tweets. You go first with your, well, bad or peculiar tweet of the realm.
Okay, hang on. I think I might have lost it.
Do you want me to go while you?
Yeah, go, because I had it and then I've lost it.
All right, this one's more peculiar than bad. This one is by an account that you would not thought would interact with the NBL, but it's at Whitney's Fan Club, the Whitney Houston Fan Club.
Okay.
This is from Boxing Day, and it reads, good morning / afternoon / night, everyone. Have an awesome day today, or sweet dreams, ! Hashtag NBL love heart emoji. And then it's got a picture of Whitney in her early 20s, the now deceased, the now late Whitney Houston. And it's not just hashtag NBL all lowercase. It's, you know, the official hashtag NBL with the little logo next to it.
Wow.
I'm mystified. What does Whitney Houston have to do with the NBL on Boxing Day?
I don't know. I have no
idea. Did she ever come out here and sing the anthem or something? I'm lost.
No. Is that clickbait? Got no idea on that one.
But this Whitney Houston Fan Club has like 200,000 members or something. And they're going to sort of try and snag the NBL 60,000. I'm just mystified.
No answers. It's a bad tweet.
I'll clip it up, people. At NBL Pocket Pod, I will put up this tweet. I'm not making this up. I'm a huge Whitney fan, but not a fan of this one. What do you have, Andrew?
All right. Now, my one, I found it's got this tweet here. It's not really a bad tweet on the context of the tweet itself or the tweet or the tweeter. It's the subject of the tweet. Now,
okay.
It's a bit confusing, but let me say. So it's from somebody called Alex Cato. And the tweet is, Usman Dieng out here getting some after game shots in. He played a total of just 3:58 tonight. Okay. And it's got a photo attached to the tweet, and it has nice. Usman Dieng shooting threes after the game practicing. Now, I think he needs to practice going inside. I just worry that, you know, he's continues to shoot badly. And he's like, no, I'm doubling down. I'm a terrible 3-point shooter, but I'm just going to keep shooting 3-point shots. Like, why don't you practice some layups, some drives, some dunks?
Yeah.
Practice passing? That's probably something he needs to work on as well. Yeah. Maybe just put the three ball back in the drawer for a little while. So bad tweet because of Usman, not the tweeter.
I got nothing against the tweeter. No, I actually think I follow Alex, and I think he may be based in Tasmania. He's got his eye around there. It's kind of fun to have people commenting on the game who are, you know, in the stadium.
You know what? I'm not following him. Hang on. Click. Bang. Following.
Bang. Alex, appreciate it, pal. All right. Well, that was taking it to the tweets. Let's stay with social media. I wanted to talk to you about this. Andrew Canyon, have a guess. which team. We're going to do the Twitter followers of each team in the league, starting from the bottom, moving up to the top. Now, don't cheat and have a look, but I'll tell you, who do you think is the least followed team on Twitter anyway? I can't comment for Instagram. And-
sure. Let's see. Tassie, because they haven't been around long.
Tasmania is correct. Who's next? Stay with that logic.
Illawarra, because nobody goes to their games.
No, it's Southeast Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
New team, but okay. Heartland, well, Twitter wouldn't suggest so. Okay. Who's next, do you think?
Well, then, I haven't said I'll stick with Illawarra again, one round up.
No, it's Brisbane.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
with only 8.2. So Tasmania's got 4.6, Southeast Melbourne 8, Brisbane 8.2. Okay.
And that's obvious because Brisbane have always been the most boring team in the league. So why would you follow them on Twitter? So
that's right.
That checks out.
7th.
Okay. My theory's not working, so I'm going to mix it up. Cairns, because they're small.
Yeah, bang. Nailed it. Go away. What you think, do the opposite. George Costanza. Yeah, 11.2. Have a guess who's next.
Well, that's probably half the population of Cairns, right?
So I think the population of Cairns is like 250,000 or something. Okay. Can that be right?
Next.
Next, have a guess. Go back to your
Illawarra.
Logic. Yeah. 18.1K, 6th. Makes sense. Small market.
Yeah.
Who's next, do you think?
What teams haven't I mentioned?
You've got...
Adelaide. It'll be Adelaide next.
No, it's not. It's Sydney Kings, 22,000.
But they're Hoops Capital.
Not a Twitter.
Oh, man. Where are they, Hoops Capital? Because they're not Hoops Capital on the court.
We're going to talk about that. Mm. Who do you think's after that? It's Adelaide. I'll just say it's Adelaide, okay, slightly Adelaide. Above,
23,500. Okay,
and we... you got three teams left.
Okay, so that would be Melbourne next.
Bingo, 26,000. Who's next?
Breakers.
One and twos.
Breakers next.
This is why I wanted to bring up this topic. Breakers are top.
They're more than Perth.
More than Perth. 38,800 followers on Twitter. Perth, 36.5. Isn't that surprising?
Wow. And doesn't that justify their style?
You would have thought. I mean, New Zealand would have a similar population to Perth. Am I being silly when I say that? Perth's probably got 1.5 million. Does New Zealand have a similar size population or way more than that?
That's a very good question. One that only Wikipedia can answer.
But people out there, you work that out. But even still, whether the population's big or not, I mean, Sydney's got a bigger population than the two combined, 22,000. It is proof of the style. And I think the better way to put it is this is not a social media victory. This is a sociable media victory. Because if you at the Breakers, they'll talk to you back. And I think a lot of the other places and just a lot of outlets, it's a one-way traffic.
Yep.
It's a photo with a score attached or a comment with a video. If you're not engaging in a conversation, people don't want to know it. And I think that's why, you know, it works for better or worse. I mean, I'm quite vocal on there and answer people back. Sometimes it works well and sometimes not so much. But you have to put yourself out there. And the Breakers have done that. And, 38,800 in a relatively small market.
Yeah.
Top of the league.
I just checked. You know, 5.1 million people.
Oh, okay. I'm way off. So, sorry, New Zealand. Sorry.
They're a bit bigger than what?
Bit bigger. But, you know, they only play their games in Auckland and a few other places, which is not all of New Zealand. But nonetheless, point stands. They've got the most, they're 0-6 and they've got the most Twitter followers. Yeah. So,
and they're the most sociable. They're the most enjoyable
by far
account to follow. Yeah, that's had, well yeah. done. I thought Perth would have still been because I think Perth was way out in front some time ago.
This has been an accelerating. I haven't been watching it, but they must have just steadily gone up the charts in the last season too.
Yep.
You know?
Maybe RJ Hunter might have helped them a little bit with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. But 35 years of incredibly sustained success as well. Might help the Wildcats.
True. And look, LaMelo Ball hasn't helped the Hawks.
Ah, touche.
Follows very well, hasn't it?
And nor Joe Chi, Southeast Melbourne. So not yet anyway.
Is China allowed to use Twitter? We might need to check. Lock the doors.
When did you get a job as the MC of the Melbourne United? All right, let's jump on. Let's go to the games. There's not many. Tasmania Breakers. Tasmania winning this one. I think, did you tip Breakers? I did.
I think I did tip Breakers.
I had a bad round, even though there were so few games. damn it. So, yeah, Tasmania won this one. I got to hand it to Tasmania. They play defense.
They do. Yeah, that's exactly the point I had. Is I love the Tassie defensive pressure. Look at us thinking the same way.
Well, they've got all these sort of role-playing defensive guys, and they play D. And Scott Roth is a real, you put it best, father of the league. And he is.
Yeah.
You know, father of the bride, father of the league, Steve Martin. And it's working for him. And I'm going to say this. What have I got written here? Clint Steindl is Chris Golding on a beer budget.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You're probably getting better percentages out of Steindl at the moment.
Golding's missed games, man. Golding's got – Golding – Steindl is CG43 without the confidence. If Steindl was better looking, he'd have more confidence and he'd be on the Boomers, or at least on the squad. Doesn't happen for him. But he can play. I'm not overreacting when I say he can really – he's just got that bit of extra height, which I like. And he's real long and lanky. I'm a fan, but I think Gleeson kept him on a tight leash and now he's doing something under Roth. I'm a fan.
I've got to say, I'm just trying to look up the stats on Spatial Jam, and I'm a bit pissed off that Andrew hasn't updated those numbers.
Jeez, get outside, mate. You nerd. let's go to the other coin. Breakers. What's going on?
I've made a note here. Have New Zealand lost their will to live?
Oh, I just want six.
Do they care? Like, are they over it? Are they over Shamir? I'm a bit worried about that.
Ooh, that was my question.
Yeah. Randall, their potential saviour, he had a shocker.
Yeah.
They just look ordinary. And now I know their player's down, but when are they going to – they just don't seem like they're all on the same page, do they?
Well, not defensively. They have their last in defensive rating by a huge margin. And that's effort. That's structural. That's kind of on Shamir. There's enough sort of physical talent there to play a bit of D. Wetzel's always struggled on that end, but, you know, McDowell-White – decent enough. Besson, a little bit small, but there's no reason. Delaney, there's no reason there shouldn't be. I mean, they are worse in defensive rating by a whopping margin. And they gave up points to, what was the end score in this game? Do you have it by any chance?
Yeah,
they gave up, 85?
84 to 75.
84 points to Tasmania. This is a team that scored in the 60s, you know, in the first couple of rounds. So,
And that margin is a little bit flattering as well, because
yes,
Tassie had, they were up by 20.
In the fourth.
Yeah. And like they took the foot off the gas. New Zealand put a bit of an effort in and brought the margin back. They were never going to win, but God, they didn't look likely.
And then the imports, Jeremiah Martin played quite well, but you know, Josh Adams played a bit better and so did Majet. And I don't even know who the other imports for the Breakers were.
They were more the Tassie guards, you know, I've been ragging on them a bit, but they were more circumspect. They weren't. Yep. They weren't so quick with the trigger shooting those threes. I think Majet kept up his average though. He did shoot an NBA range 3-pointer off the bounce. Yeah, just like rebounded out. Oh, I'll take that. It went in. So you know, well done. But he can't help himself.
Shamir, you've lost the team. I mean, they're 0-6. They've had injuries, COVID again. But you know, like here's the thing with COVID and that. The imports have come over. They're in the same situation whether there was COVID or not. They're away from their family. They're on the road. It shouldn't matter to them. They've been some of the worst performers or not present. Not able to perform. Bottom line is this, though. They're 0-6. The last 2 years, the last year they finished what? Last or second last? Can't remember.
Yeah.
The year before that, good year, but ultimately didn't make the finals.
Yep.
Shamir in trouble? And I asked, if you're Matt Walsh,
well, they've just given him an extension, haven't they? But
no, but they gave him that. I think that extension is up. They extended him for 2 years as of end of that first year. He's up at the end of the year.
Okay. Well, I think irrespective of whatever the contract says, I think you've got to move on. I think the experiment has played out. They zigged when the league zagged. You know, they went the European, you know, coach. Everybody else has gone Australian, American. I just think it's not translating. It's not working.
I think
there's too much, and there seems to be too much freneticism. As much as Shamir seems to be quite cerebral, when he's on the court, I think he tends to lose it a bit too much. I think that may work against him and the team.
I think their roster construction, I quite liked the roster they put together and thought they were going to be good. The schedule has not helped, but they just don't play D. They don't play well enough, and
there's no point of emphasis, is there? It's like, what is our team about? What is our calling card?
And they changed it. The problem is their imports changed and they're bringing guys who are hurt. Yeah. Last year, Patterson, out of shape, hurt. Can't remember who else. And this year, you got to nail the imports. There's a league where you have,
Besson, I mean, he's 20 years old. He's played well, but that's a lot of pressure at import spot to put on a 20-year-old guy.
And up and down. And
yep.
So, and, Wetzel's a good pickup, and Delaney has sort of looked like he was going to explode and become a, all NBL team talent. Kind of has, kind of hasn't. Hasn't been a consistent player. I'll ask this question. Does Shamir see out the year?
I think he does.
I agree.
Just because it's too hard in the other way.
And expensive.
Yeah. But I think this is done.
I think he sees out the year. Yeah. He sees out the year because COVID injuries, he gets that break.
Yeah.
But if he's sitting in a meeting in front of them and saying, I'd like to go around again, I don't think there's enough on the page to go, we're going to go with all the problems you've had rather than it's just not, you got to coach through those problems. Look at Melbourne United. They don't have a great roster. And Vickerman has at least got them playing D.
Yeah.
When you haven't got the roster you want, you got to play D. They don't do it. Let's jump on. Anything on Tasmania? We already spoke about that. Let's go to the other game of the round. Sydney-Melbourne. Am I right in saying it was just these two games?
That's it.
Yeah, okay.
Three other games cancelled.
Where did you see this game? And then we'll talk about the teams and bigger picture.
It was 82 Melbourne, 68 Sydney. Sydney have got to get some imports because they're wasting this season.
Again.
That's my... And shown up when you look at Agata on the flip side, just having an absolute killer game. Fill in the box score.
Oh man, double
digits. Is there a more profound comparison point? You've got Sydney with their imports on the bench, not playing, and Agata. Like you need imports in this league, and you can't keep sitting them out, waiting for them to come good, and you don't know if they're going to come good, and are they going to actually perform when they're back on the court? Like season's too short. I know we've got COVID, blah blah blah, but you got to make some moves.
Yeah, here's the other thing as well. With the imports, and I'm going to start doing this, just tracking import production because games have been won and lost with import production. Tasmania, New Zealand, you look at Jeremiah Martin had a pretty good game. I think he had 20-some.
Yeah.
Josh Adams had 21. Majette had 15. I don't think the Breakers had another import. Then you look at Perth. Cotton and Laura combining for 50 points a game. Yeah, Every other opponent. Look at Adelaide. They're down the bottom. Look at their imports doing nothing. Cairns down the, or they're actually in the top four, but have struggled. Yeah, Machado's hurt, whatever else. So I'm going to start doing that, just putting up import production and seeing how it relates to wins because it seems to be a pretty good gauge of success. But Sydney, are we making excuses for them? Like, are they a good roster? Are they a top four team?
No. Everybody keeps raving about them. I don't see it. Everybody's like, I don't know if they're pumping it up for the whole Sydney market and everything. The commentator's saying, oh, it's a finals preview. It's like, get out of here. Sydney have shown me nothing to suggest that they're a finals team. Melbourne have. Like, they had a rough start.
Mm.
They're picking up. Okay, I can buy that Melbourne are a playoff team. I'm not sure they're a championship team, but they're a playoff team. But Sydney, no.
They're in the bubble, but I'm not as high on them as you think. We're going to talk about that. Sydney, I mean, here's what I think with Sydney. In a big game, even if they make the finals, let's say they make the finals, would you trust Chase Buford? Because all a coach really needs to do is bring in good personnel, rotations, game plan, make sure people stick to it. And some late game situations. In a close game, in a finals game, is Chase Buford going to change his game plan or strategize and outwit Brian Gorgian? No.
Yeah.
Is he going to outwit Dean Vickerman? No. Is he going to outwit who else? Those other top four teams. Hang on. Scott Morrison. Jury's out. Southeast. Mitchell. Mitchell. Maybe not. But Simon Mitchell's got runs on the board.
I'm worried about Simon Mitchell this season. Just quietly.
We'll talk about that.
But no, I think Chase Buford doesn't have the. He seems too too personally invested in the plays going on rather than the he's more worried about every battle than the war. Is that a fair way to put it? Yeah, he gets angry at refs about a call. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like he strategizes the overall game because he's got wacky lineups on the court. This 7 seconds or less offense he's running with is probably not great for the roster they have right now.
Well, let me just go through some stats on that. Last in offensive rating by a huge margin, and that really bad game obviously throws all these off, but it's still a data point to look at.
Still counts.
Last in field goal efficiency, exactly, still counts. One of their starters, Sean Bruce, is last in measurable PER, 65th of the people that you can put up a PER stat. He's last, and he soaks up 30 minutes. Just above him, by the way, Kevin White. So for our Kevin White fans out there.
Hi, Dan Ewing.
The question I have is a lineup of Bruce, and this is where I kind of give Sydney a break, because is a lineup of Sean Bruce, Glover, Swaka, Cooks and Martin, should they be better than their record, which is what, 2-3 or something like that?
I just think with that kind of lineup, you want fewer possessions, not more. Mm. And they're running the ball up and down, and cheapening each possession. But I just don't think they have enough offensive firepower to play that kind of game.
I mean, you got Sean Bruce, who's coming off injury. Was in the league 3 years ago. Glover coming off injury, but looking quite good. Swaka, who Perth said no to, and then Cooks and Martin, who are quite good. That's not a great team on paper. So I'm not surprised at their record. I still see a little bit of nuggets of potential in them. Sorry, Andrew, you were saying.
Yeah. No, I think you're right in that they don't have the scoring power. Their two best players are sort of low post stretch forwards, right? Mm-hmm. You're not gonna bet your house on Xavier Cooks hitting a three, but he's strong inside, so slow the game down. Use him down in the low. And now I know it's going against all the modern metrics, but you're missing your key players that you built this scheme around. So adjust on the fly. I say put it down, get some fouls, go to the free throw line, try and score that way. Unfashionable.
Here's my worry. Yeah. Here's my worry with them roster construction-wise. Hunter going down, and for the season, if I'm correct,
yeah,
really hurts them.
Yep.
Because I think the appeal of Martin was, all right, stretchy, kind of swifty four, and a big three, a bit big and a bit slow, but can take bigger guys off the dribble, can kind of post up smalls. He's now had to bump up to the five, and it's a position he just doesn't want to play. What have I got here? He's seventh in rebounds, just total rebounds. I haven't looked at rebounding percentage, but that's pretty good. 8.5 a game, I think. He's 43rd in blocks. He just doesn't have that uppy block keep you away from the rim type game. And that was going to be Hunter. They were banking on that being Hunter. And it's not happened. And he's playing out of position. And he looked okay in there, but they haven't looked good with him there. So I have worries about that. I think they have to fill that spot. And I don't know who they get to do it. Thon McCurr maybe. But he's not going to do anything. Oh. He can't play. He's just not done anything at any stop. They need a solution.
No.
This is true.
No. But I don't know. There's got to be somebody out there floating around that they can wheel in, because they're not going to get it done with the roster they've got now. And Archer Hunter, even when he was in the game, he didn't look like a Bryce Cotton out there, did he?
No. One game. He's got quite a good rap. I quite like him. Sorry, everyone out there. I think Andrew and I were working on bad internet. It's my end, trust me. Melbourne, you're talking about them top four. Actually, let's do this. Overtime put out the thing to answer questions on their latest show, which I think they record on Tuesday night, so tonight. Yep. I asked the question, top four. Recalibrate your top four. Can I get you to recalibrate yours, Andrew?
I'll do my best. Let's see. I will say Perth.
Yep.
Is this, Melbourne?
Actually, I'll quickly tell you, as it sits, the four is Perth, Southeast Melbourne, Illawarra, and Cairns.
Yep. So I'm going to say Perth, Melbourne. Ooh. Southeast Melbourne Hawks with Brisbane, the unlucky fifth position.
Yeah. That fourth spot is still Melbourne, Brisbane, and now Sydney. I think they've slid down to this category. Even if they get their imports back, they've just dropped a few games. They're going to drop some more. They're trying to, you know, do stuff on the fly. Here's why I'm not that mad about Melbourne. Right? I think they're good. They're 3-2.
Okay.
They've won 3 in a row. That's great.
Yep.
But who have they played? They've played Sydney and New Zealand Breakers. That's who they've got their wins against. Well, Sydney have not looked good, and the Breakers are the worst team in the league. And they've lost to Southeast Melbourne and Sydney on the road. So then the good team they've played, they've lost to Southeast Melbourne and got beaten handily. Agata's had some good games of late, for sure, but they've come against Swaka the Bullock. You know, they haven't, and against a defense that's not great in Sydney and porous. A team that's playing poorly. Yeah, porous. So, and a team that plays up tempo and so on and so forth. So, you know, Agata's had good games, but I'm still kind of like, okay, let's see it in Perth. Let's see it in Southeast Melbourne. Let's see it in Illawarra. You know, not against Sydney and Sydney when they're undermanned. So I'm kind of still not all pushing all my chips in on Melbourne just yet. And then Dellavedova. He's been okay. Their defense has been good. He's a defensive player. Maybe he's a huge part of that. I don't doubt that. But 51st in PER, one spot above Todd Withers of like 36ers, who's been banded about as a guy they got to cut.
Yeah,
and a PER is not everything. It's a flawed stat, but it's something. I'm like, all right, I'll see it when they put up something good. What do you think about that case?
Yeah. Well, it's a fair point you make. I think I'm probably backing my trust in Vickerman as a good coach to make it work. And they are hanging their hat on the defensive end a bit. So I think that will help them because they've got the players who can defend. And it looks like Agata's ready to do that. Looking at his stat line, Dellavedova, they'll build around a defensive wall. So I think they'll do okay and they'll win you some games.
I've got a concern. This. Oh, yeah. Okay. Give me the concern.
Okay. The concern is Brad Newley is totally cooked.
Yeah.
Don't be counting on him for anything at this point. He shot 2 air balls in his old home stadium. It just didn't look likely. Yeah, and I think you've got, you know, pick your poison. You're going to go Brad Newley or David Barlow. That's what we said at the beginning of the season or in the preseason. It's like, this team's old. And that's my biggest concern with those guys.
And they've put a couple of wins on the board. I mean, they're what, 3-2? That's great. But when you're older, you know, the back of the schedule gets tough. I haven't looked at their strength and schedule yet.
And if there's COVID scheduling where they have to play 2 and 3, 4 games in a week or something to catch up, that's going to get messy. Brutal.
Typically Melbourne, though, they're looked after in the schedule. We've all seen that before. True. I think what I'll say is this. The teams that are on the boil with them, Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney are totally on the scramble. Melbourne have at least got institutional structure, right? Vickerman's been there a long time. Golding's been there a long time. Barlow's been there a decent length of time. You know, they've got structure. Sydney have got none of that. It's just turn it over every year, pull the soil up, go again. Yep, turnstile. And then Brisbane, I mean, Brisbane's always kind of struggling to hold itself. But, you know, Sobey's been there a while. Patterson kind of knows that program. Duncan's new, though, but looks quite comfortable. So, yeah, it's really coming down to, I think their personnel have the same strengths and weaknesses, or different strengths and weaknesses, but in the same amount. So it's a matter of, you know, who's the better club. And I'm not into that sort of rah-rah club stuff, but it actually seems to be coming to the surface with these three teams. So
we shall see.
That's all I've got on that. The last thing we're going to talk about, because we're going to be a short episode, is COVID.
Okay.
Well, this round had 2 games. How many were cancelled or postponed?
We lost 3. 3 games. So we lost we lost Illawarra Hawks, Southeast Melbourne. That was meant to be before Christmas.
First game of the round.
And now we've lost Brisbane Cairns, which was the other day, and Adelaide Perth. But then we've lost another one. Is it Brisbane?
Perth Brisbane?
This is how hard it is, right? With Jeff?
Or was Tez?
So Illawarra Hawks, Southeast Melbourne were gone early. I'm looking at footy tips right now. Brisbane Bullets and Cairns Taipans was meant to be a game, and that was cancelled. And then today, Adelaide and Perth has been cancelled.
Okay. And that's it.
So and then I think next round, maybe there's another game that's already been cancelled as well.
Oh, there's been a ton cancelled for the future. Games on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve for Brisbane. Yeah. Illawarra's games. Apparently, everyone at Illawarra's got COVID. Best of wishes to them.
Seems like somebody in Adelaide has COVID, which is why it's cancelled.
That's right.
The NBL website is actually not loading for me right now. That's probably got COVID. It's been cancelled.
Postponed.
Can't get past the homepage.
And here's what I want to talk about. I mean, so we've had two games from the round three cancelled. So what is that? 60% of your games cancelled.
Yep.
I'm going to curse. This is a fucking disaster. This is a disaster. Yeah. I don't know how the league kind of survives. And I saw on the basketball show, embarrassingly, I didn't watch the episode, but I saw in their advertisement that there was the NBL thinking about pausing for the month of January. And, you know, that may be a solution. I don't know whether they put that up seriously or there's talks about that or that was just sort of a talking point. But it just... Even if they do that, I just don't know how they. This is a disaster.
Yeah,
absolute disaster. And
you got 14 days of quarantine, right? Mm. Now you come out of 14 days of quarantine, it's going to take you another 14 days to, you know, peak up again to the point where you can play competitively. You know, you get the rust very quickly when you're a peak level athlete. So yeah, it would make sense. But I think even if you did that, you're just going to experience the same problem in February. Somebody else is going to get COVID.
Precisely. And here's the other thing as well. It's not like in the NBA where you can just kind of sign players in and out, 15 long roster. You know, most NBL teams have 8 serviceable players. If one of them goes down, your whole team is thrown off and you can only have 2 imports, so on and so forth. So you can't just sort of, you know, live and try and live with it and have players coming in and out. It's just not that type of league.
Yep.
So the bigger travel, the other problem is, you know, not just people getting it, but then travel. And like you said, the quarantine period. So that's a potential micro lockdown. I don't think this country's beyond that. The UK has gone back into one, or at least did go back into one. Mask mandates. This is an indoor sport. It's played in indoor stadiums. That's a nightmare to navigate. Don't forget some A-League games, A-League soccer, football, in outdoor stadiums. They were closed to the public over this last weekend. I don't have the games by name, but I know there were some.
Yep.
That's an outdoor event. These are indoor. And then the problem is as well, okay, all right, let's say you just say, oh, well, we'll just postpone. Well, that doesn't help you either because then you start, because the season got this sort of late-ish start. So it's already looking like bleeding into the AFL NRL season, which is a death sentence in itself.
Yep. You can't do that.
So you can't do that. So otherwise you just cram games on a weekday. Well, that's not commercially very viable.
So do we do a bubble?
Well, then you do a bubble. We saw how that worked last year. Was everyone blown away by that? Not really. Not at all, actually. So this is why I say disaster. Because I'm not here saying the NBL's messing this up. I think the NBL's doing admirably. I just don't know what you do. This is a throw your hands up type situation. Disaster.
Totally. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how you recover. It's gonna be a strange season.
It's very strange season.
Pretty much the worst possible outcome.
Yeah, it's dreadful because you can't even just sort of well, if players get it, we hope they don't fall gravely ill, but we'll keep playing. You can't do that. Mm. You know, the health comes first. You can't even do that. You can't bring players out of your development league.
This is the other weird thing, right? And I wondered health and safety and everything. They actually took Perth out of at the time, a safe, COVID-safe environment.
Yeah,
and
right.
Sent them into the COVID-infested waters. Is that an OK health and safety issue for an basically you're saying there's a known risk and you've thrown your staff into it. It sort of surprises me that they were able to do it. I don't know the ins and outs of the law. But
neither. But no, you pose a good point. And I mean, we talked about this, that Kesselman sort of looking to offshoot some of the league. And I saw him and his son at the Tasmania game on the television. And right. I think that's maybe they're just going to go, you know what, United Tasmania, that's our thing. Tasmania in particular. They own the stadium. They own a bit of the team. You know, that's yep. theirs. They've got real control over that. Melbourne, they kind of inherited off the Tigers. It's theirs, but there's not that feel. Whereas Tasmania, that's them. That yeah, is them. Yep. It's building, it's construction, it's all their stuff together. So maybe they thought, you know what, we're going to push the league to one side, minimize our commitment here, you know, and go with it like that, because they yeah. can just see the future of this being a nightmare for the next 3 to 5. But that's old territory. We've tacked over that, but oh, dear me. And honestly, I think the NBL should go out, start playing the lotto feverishly, claim it as like a charitable thing, because you know how lottery money goes to charity. Claim it off tax and hope you hit the lottery, because I don't know how you make your money back on this season and the next three. And I'm not kidding. No. I'm not no. kidding. Disaster. But,
yep. It's expensive to rent hotel rooms for multiple weeks. Yeah. Yeah, I saw
it. Hotel rooms, flights.
Yep. Food. Yep. Nothing comes cheap.
And then you just can't sell tickets. You can't just you cannot sell yeah. tickets to people. Anyway, yeah. That's
on that on that uplifting note. I think that's all we've yeah. got.
Join the Patreon. Body's book.
Yes.
Buy a book from Booktopia. Buy Body's book through Booktopia using the link in the description. That way we get an incredibly, I mean, Booktopia, it's criminal, the percentage on these sales. It's absolutely minimal. But do it anyway. Appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod and at Andrew Canyon, C-A-N-I-O-N.
That's it. Nobody gets it right, except you, Joe.
Can we end on something positive? You got anything?
Australia won the cricket.